There are three things I want you to learn about prayer this morning. Effectual prayer. I want you to see the origin of effectual prayer. It is of Him. And then I want you to see the operation of effectual prayer. It is through Him. And then I want you to see the objective of spiritual prayer. It is to Him. When you learn that prayer is a cycle, that like everything else in the material world or the spiritual world, that all things are of Him, through Him, and to Him, it will help you to understand how to pray effectual prayer.
Profound truth simply stated. This is Love Worth Finding with pastor, teacher, and author Adrian Rogers.
Be finding, please, Romans chapter 11. And we're going to spend most of our time this morning in one verse, verse 36. We're talking today about the secret of effectual prayer. Now, I don't know why we like to put the word secret in our sermon titles, but it's no secret. I mean, it's right here in the Word of God, how to pray and pray effectually. Down in the Atlantic Ocean, there is a great mass of water bounded on three sides that is called the Bermuda Triangle. And some call it the Devil's Triangle. Because in that great massive part of the earth, the ocean surface, it is said that airplanes fly into that Bermuda Triangle and disappear. Ships sail into that vast place of water and they disappear. The Bermuda Triangle. Many people say it's a great mystery. I think it's a myth. I don't think there's anything really to it. I don't want to talk to you today about the Devil's Triangle. I want to talk to you about the Divine Triangle. The Divine Triangle is not a myth. It's a miracle. It doesn't cause things to disappear. It brings things into being. And that divine triangle is found right here in the Word of God. Look at it in verse 36. For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things. Now, friend, that is a wonderful, wonderful thought. If God will write that upon your heart, for of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Now, what this verse is doing is talking about the sovereignty of Almighty God. It says everything begins with God. He is the source of all things. Everything is accomplished through God. He is the force of all things. And everything returns back to God. He is the course of all things. All things are from Him and through Him and to Him. Almighty God is sovereign. You see, this is really the theme of the Bible. How does the Bible start? Well, in the beginning, God. All things are from Him or of Him. And then how does the Bible end? In the book of the Revelation, chapter 1 and verse 8, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and was and is to come. It's the theme of the Bible. All things, friend, come from Him and they go back to Him. Now, we said we're going to talk about prayer. Let's see how this relates to prayer. There are three things I want you to learn about prayer this morning. Effectual prayer. I want you to see the origin of effectual prayer. It is of Him. And then I want you to see the operation of effectual prayer. It is through Him. And then I want you to see the objective of spiritual prayer. It is to Him. When you learn that prayer is a cycle, that like everything else in the material world or the spiritual world, that all things are of Him, through Him, and to Him, it will help you to understand how to pray effectual prayer. Now listen to me very carefully. We're going to talk about effectual prayer. What is the origin of effectual prayer? It roots in the purpose of God. Now that's worth writing down. Effectual prayer, the origin of effectual prayer is this. It roots in the purpose of God. Now here is the great, great secret of effectual prayer. Listen carefully. The prayer that gets to heaven starts in heaven. Now the prayer that gets to heaven starts in heaven. For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things. You see, prayer is God's way of getting heaven's will done on earth, not man's way of getting man's will done in heaven. What we do when we pray is just close the circuit. For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things. God is a sovereign God. Why has God allowed us to pray? Have you ever thought about that? Prayer is so mysterious. I mean, God knows what we have need of before we ask Him. So why should I ask God for what He already knows I need? And God loves me. Why should I have to persuade a loving God to bless me or give me what I need? What is the purpose of prayer? Could God do it without our praying? He will not do it without our praying. And if we don't pray, we will not have, for the Bible says we have not because we ask not. What is the reason for prayer? Well, let me just give you three of them right here for just a moment. You see, God has given us the privilege of working with Him. Now, God, in His administration of the universe, has called us as laborers together with Him. The Bible tells us very clearly in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1, we are workers together with Him. Now you think about it. That Almighty God has said to Adrian, Adrian, I want you to help me run the universe. You say, that's arrogance. Well, then blame the Apostle Paul. He said, we're workers together with Him. We work together with God as we work with one another, and we work with God in administrating the universe. God wants to move through His people. Well, why would he do it that way? I've often used the illustration of flying an airplane. I don't know how to fly an airplane, but there have been times when I've been up with a pilot and he would say to me, do you want to fly this airplane? I say, sure. So he turns the airplane over to me. He's sitting there alongside of me, of course, and he's got his hands on his controls. I have mine on the other controls, and I'm flying the airplane. Now, folks, I want to make it very clear. He could do it without me. I couldn't do it without him. But there's the joy of that fellowship as he says, I'm going to let you help me fly this airplane. God says, I want to let you help me to run the universe, and the way we're going to do it is through prayer. And so there is that cooperation with Almighty God. When we pray, we have the privilege of working with God. And then because of that, we also find there's that bonding that we have. Did you know if we didn't pray, many of us would never think about God? Many of us would take just the blessings for granted. But God wants us to be perpetually dependent upon Him, so He teaches us to pray. He teaches us to pray. And then prayer is the way of discipling us. Have you ever prayed and not gotten your prayer answered? Of course. And you say, well, why didn't God answer my prayer? Is there something wrong in my life? Have I been out of fellowship with God? Is there unconfessed, unrepentant of sin in my life? And many times we'll find out that there is. And the Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And I think one of the things that keeps me closer to God than anything else is the knowledge that if my heart is not clean and pure, my prayers will not get through. So God, the origin of prayer is the purpose of God. The purpose of God. God has a purpose in His heart and in His life. He wants to work in me through prayer. Now, folks, prayer did not begin with you. As a matter of fact, if you don't name it and claim it, it has to begin with God. I remember when the disciples, reading about the disciples out fishing after the resurrection of Jesus Jesus said, have you taken anything? Have you caught anything? Don't you hate it when you've been fishing all night and haven't caught anything? Somebody ask you that question. Have you caught anything? Here's what they said. Now listen to it. They said, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. The sentence begins with we. It ends with nothing. Anything that begins with we ends with nothing spiritually. And then Jesus said, well, cast your nets out on the other side. And they said, well, at your word, we will. And now, friend, we have to get God's word. Prayer does not bend God's will to fit our will. Prayer finds the will of God and gets in on it. We're going to say more about that later on. But remember this, that the origin of effectual prayer roots in the purposes of God. For of Him are all things. Now here's the second thing. Not only does the origin of effectual prayer root in the purposes of God, but the operation of effectual prayer relies on the power of God. Because not only does prayer come, is it of Him, but it is through Him. You see, it's God that gives you the desire to pray. Did you know that you don't have a natural desire to pray? You have a natural desire not to pray. I'm talking about your flesh. Let me give you some scriptures. Romans 3 verse 11, we've already looked at this. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. No, not one. That's what the Bible says. You have a natural inclination not to pray. Let me give you another verse. Romans 8 verses 5 through 7. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. That is, the fleshly mind is at warfare with God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Your nature does not want to pray. There's nothing in you by nature that would cause you to seek God. No, not at all. But God, when He puts His Spirit in you, gives you the desire to pray. Romans 8 verse 15, for you have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. God puts His Spirit into our hearts, lets us know that we've been adopted into His family, and then prayer is just natural as a little child saying, Daddy, Father. But the natural man, the carnal nature, doesn't want to pray. So how is prayer through Him? Well, first of all, He gives us the desire to pray. And now listen very carefully. Not only does He give us the desire to pray, He gives us the direction to pray. I mean, what are we to ask for? We don't know by our own nature what to ask for. You know, the Bible says that God will supply all of our need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Sometimes we want things we don't need. Isn't that true? Yes, that's definitely true. Have you ever thanked God for unanswered prayer? I have. I've asked God for things I thought I needed, and He didn't give them to me, and I argued with Him, but He still didn't give them to me. You know what Mrs. Billy Graham said? Mrs. Billy Graham said, if God had answered every one of my prayers, I would have married three other men other than Billy Graham, and every one of them been wrong. You know, you asking God to give you something that's not best for you. Sometimes we want things we don't need. And sometimes we need things we don't want. Isn't that true? And my dad used to say, you need a spanking. I didn't want one, but I needed one. He was right. Well, only the Holy Spirit of God is going to show us how to pray for things that we may not want, but that we really need. And then sometimes we want things that we already have. We're asking God to give us what we already have. Well, we just take what we already have and give it back to God and say, of thine own have we given unto thee. Sometimes we want things we don't need. Sometimes we need things we don't want. And sometimes we want things we already have. But the Holy Spirit of God gives us the desire to pray. And the Holy Spirit of God gives us the direction to pray so we can know the will of God. How did Jesus pray? Jesus prayed by this principle. And Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son, speaking of Himself, the Son, can do nothing of Himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, the Father, these also doeth the Son likewise. What Jesus said is just, I look into heaven. I see what the Father is doing. I see what the Father wants. That's what I ask for. That's what I get. Do you know what worship is? Worship is placing yourself on the altar until you're consumed. Now you're in verse 36. Just go to chapter 12, verse 1. Look at it. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, a sacrifice is to be placed on the altar. And what happened to a sacrifice in the Old Testament when it was placed on the altar? It was consumed by fire. Now, if that sacrifice was not a holy sacrifice, it would not be consumed. It would be repugnant. God would refuse it. But if it was a holy sacrifice, that is, without spot or blemish, pure, clean, that sacrifice would be consumed. Now, you have not really worshiped until you've placed yourself on the altar and God has consumed you with holy fire. Now, when you do that, when you place yourself upon the altar and let God consume you, you are consumed by Him. Then you know what happens? Well, look at it. Look in chapter 12, verse 1. Brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now watch this. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When you worship with loving, lingering prayer, God comes and He consumes you and then He transforms you. And you now have the mind of Christ. You look into heaven. You see things that are in heaven. You see what is bound in heaven and you bind it on earth. You see what is loosed in heaven and you loose it on earth. And you see, it is God that gives you the desire to pray. It is God that gives you the direction to pray. It is God that gives you the dynamic to pray, because you must pray in faith. And where's that faith going to come from? Well, of Him and through Him and to Him. You can't conjure up faith. You can't make yourself believe. But when you hear God, when you've been alone with God, when you're worshiping God and God speaks to you, then faith wells up in your heart. Remember, not long ago we preached from Romans 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And we told you that word hearing is the word rhema, which means not just hearing words, but hearing God. When God speaks to you, you have a rhema of God. Then you find that faith in your heart. Many of us just run into God's presence and we say, "Listen, Lord, your servant is speaking," rather than, "Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening." And finally, when we find out what's going on in heaven, whatever is bound in heaven, then we bind it on earth. And whatever is loosed in heaven, then we loose it on earth. You see, listen, prayer is of Him. It is through Him. It is the Holy Spirit who gives us the desire to pray. It is the Holy Spirit who gives us the direction to pray. It is the Holy Spirit who gives us the dynamic to pray. Prayer is of Him and through Him. Now, the origin of prayer is the purpose of God. The operation of prayer is the power of God. But now listen carefully, and here's where many of us miss it. The objective of prayer is the praise of God. Now, if you don't get that, you're going to miss the whole thing. The objective of prayer is the praise of God. Now listen to it. For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. You see, God is in the business of getting glory to Himself. And the reason so many times that our prayers are not answered is that we're not interested in the glory of God. We're interested in our own personal aggrandizement. When you get interested in the glory of God, you're going to see prayer start being answered. James said, you have not because you ask not, and you ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you might consume it upon your lust. But we're to ask God for the glory of God. Now listen, it is prayer and thanksgiving that complete the triangle of Him, through Him, and to Him. Thanksgiving just simply says, Lord, thank you. Prayer asks. Thanksgiving says, thank you. Thanksgiving enjoys the gift. Praise enjoys the giver. When we just simply praise the Lord. You know, prayer goes into God's presence to carry something away. Praise goes into God's presence just to stay there forever and ever and ever. And by the way, folks, this is why we pray in the name of Jesus. This is why we pray in the name of Jesus. You know, He says that we're to ask in His name. Now listen to it. Now listen. We're to ask in His name that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now think about that. Why do we pray in the name of Jesus? That God will be glorified. That's what it means to pray in the name of Jesus. And oh, it's so sweet to pray in the name of Jesus. Have you ever waked up in the morning and knew it's time to pray and just didn't feel like praying? You know, when you wake up sometimes like that, you just don't feel like praying. Isn't that true? You just don't feel like praying. Have you ever done that? You just don't feel like praying, and so you don't pray. And you say, well, you know, it would just be mockery if I were to pray today or right now, so I'll wait till I feel better. Then later on you get to feeling better. Maybe you take a couple of Alka-Seltzer or something like that. You know, maybe last night you had sauerkraut and ice cream, and so you take an Alka-Seltzer. And then after a while you get to feeling better. You say, now I can pray. Well, I want to ask you a question. Do you think God was in that plop, plop, fizz, fizz? I mean, did that make you more spiritual? No, you just felt better. You just felt better. Now, folks, when you pray, don't come offering to God the brass of your emotions. Come with both hands filled with the incense of Jesus' name. Ask in His name. It really doesn't matter how you feel. Pray in the name of Jesus. I tell you, I've done this before. I've come sometimes, there's time to preach on Sunday, and I say, oh God, I've been so busy. I've here, this, that. I've been running around doing a lot of things good, but none of them good as prayer. Lord, I just don't deserve your blessings this morning. Oh God, I'm so sorry. And the Lord says to me, now wait a minute. If you had been really doing what you ought to do, then do you think that your prayer would be rewarded because you've been such a good boy? Don't you realize it's my grace that gets your prayers answered? You see, folks, it's not my sweat, it's His blood. You pray in the name of Jesus. I'm not saying that we ought not to do right. I'm not saying that we ought not to serve Him. But there comes a time when you say, oh God, I'm not offering my emotions and I'm not offering my performance. I'm standing on your promise. I'm praying in the name of Jesus. And God answers your prayer. And then you say, to whom be glory forever. You pray in the name of Jesus. Now I'm finishing this message. But now let me tell you what prayer is what I've said about prayer. I've talked to you about the origin of prayer. I have talked to you about the operation of prayer. I've talked to you about the object of prayer, a divine triangle, for of Him and through Him and to Him are all things. Now here's the bottom line. Let's just wrap it up. Let me give you a definition of prayer. Prayer is the Holy Spirit finding a desire in the heart of the Father, putting that desire into your heart, and then sending it back to heaven in the power of the cross or in the power of Jesus' name. I know you didn't remember all that, so I'm going to give it to you again. Prayer is the Holy Spirit finding a desire in the heart of the Father, putting that desire into our heart, and then sending it back to heaven in the power of the cross for the glory of God. For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things. Now, when we learn to pray that way, we're going to pray as Jesus prayed. And we're going to see God do some wonderful things in prayer.